Well, today I have the great pleasure to be with someone who is an expert in what we all need, and that is help on doing a good video. I have Steve Kroner, who's the founder of Podcaster Time. He works at a user-generated creator, content creator, rather. He's a content creator that is a user-generated. They call it UGC. He helps a brand and professional to sort of create real story-driven content, not just sort of something read off a company brochure. Interesting enough, he holds both a real estate and a mortgage license, so he's a double agent in our real estate field. He worked with mortgage, real estate, finance, law, and also blue-collar industries. And he also focuses his health a little bit in the mental health area, and he might do some change in that area down the road. He's a TED speaker and author, and you can find him at podcastertime.com. Welcome, Steve.
Thank you, Ozzy. I appreciate being here.
You know, when you first started doing this, what did the first months actually look like? I don't want the highlight reel. You know, I want to know the grind of trying to get somebody to say yes.
You're starting like that with me. You want the truth? It was painful. It was, you know, I think there's a certain process you have to do, and there's a hustle that's included. But a lot of times when you start out with anything, just like in real estate, you might have to give a few deals here, maybe a little bit of your commission back here. And this is sort of what I did to get going with some of the people that I was saying, hey, let me podcast you, let me interview you. And they're like, well, who are you? Right. And so there was a lot of moments there where I just said, you know, as long as I keep giving value, as long as I keep showing up, and I think a lot of people, you know, will appreciate that and then give them a little special to start. But that's sort of what happened. That was the grind. There was a lot of doors sort of shut. A lot of people ghosted me. And even sometimes it's your family and friends that do it. But that's OK.
Well, it's to be persistent, right? You believed in what you were doing. You knew that you had an answer to a lot of the questions that people have. And then, but to get them to sort of say, okay, well, we'll hire you, right? I mean, I can see that you worked with a wide range of high-end and well-known brands and professionals and businesses in a relatively short time frame. So what did that actually take to do day to day? And what would you say to somebody that thinks that, you know, the enormous dedication that you need and the hard work, you know, is it impossible?
It's not impossible. It's keeping a pace, but you got to have a plan in place. And then, of course, a team. Now, you don't need a big team, but you just need a team that knows what they're doing. And testing out different sort of formats for different professionals, it's important because they're not always the best on camera. So they're worried about what they look like. They're worried about what they sound like. But as we know, the stats out there, they need to be on camera. Because there's just so many people now, you know, for instance, the new realtors who've only been in the game maybe 2 or 3 years are producing content like this and grabbing listings that they probably shouldn't have any business grabbing. But because of their marketing and people get to know them, they like them, trust them, before you know it, they get the listing. And when they walk in the door, it's like people already know them already. And that's secret.
Yeah, I always maintain that people don't, it's technology doesn't put you out of business, but a person with technology, he can put you out of business. Look, you work mostly with finance and professional service clients, a lot of realtors and mortgage brokers. Now, why is it important to you that audience specifically to start the video, and what got you started 20 years ago?
I knew that, you know, coming from the fax machine era, as you know, when you were doing, you know, that type of technology, and then it changed to, you know, our phone, and then all of a sudden you could get email. I was like, wow, that's amazing. Yeah. You can scan these documents? Okay. And then I just started picking up the camera and then realizing that, you know, a lot of the larger firms, you know, the Remax, the Suttons, I saw them starting to do videos on their brand on that level. So then I think us realtors started to go, the newer ones, because I've only been a realtor, like I said, I've had my license now 23 years, but at that time, there was a transition happening in there. We didn't have as much information like we do now with all the LLM models, all the chat GPTs, the Claudes, Gemini. They can write things instantly and they can give you a script that you can use and go on to camera quite simple, right? And follow along. But back then you had to do it sort of the old school style. And there was a lot of times where people would still, you know, they would start with doing their videos, let's say for a real estate tour. And they would do this whole real estate tour, but they never spoke. And the next transition was now there's talking about the house, right? And you know, I think people do the walkthrough tours sort of you know, to sell the house, but when they do actually talk on camera, they're selling themselves. And that's what the owners, that's what the people are basing that on. They're, because you're in competition with other people. So if they already know you, like you, and trust you, right, as you know.
Well, and that's, I think, one of your backbone is that you like the idea of telling the true story, right? To have the real you rather than sort of a thing what we ought to be saying of some sort of a pamphlet. And that comes from building trust. You know, the person sees, okay, he stumbled a little bit or whatever. That's normal, right? But he looks to me like he has this best interest in my mind. And I think that's what you do in your broadcasting and your videotaping, is that you look for that story in the individual.
Absolutely. And I think when you're looking for that story, I think the person will sort of somewhat forget that they're on camera because they're talking to someone like we are doing now. And anytime you pick up your phone and you start talking to it, it feels funny, right? But when you're talking to someone like this, they can understand your personality a little bit more. They can see your physical sort of side when you're relaxed. And I think that's what people forget when it's that podcast style, interview style. And when people get into that situation, it's a lot easier than some other times when you're just trying to, again, do a head talking video and talking to the camera yourself.
Well, and the way it works is clear. I mean, you've had some outstanding you know, really performance. Some of those videos have, I mean, you had a piece of content perform way beyond what a typical video gets. I don't, it was in the tens of thousands of views.
90,000 now, yes.
100,000.
Nah, you're almost 100, I'm
okay.
Holding.
Okay, I want to do a video, I want to do a video.
And you
so
don't
what was, for instance, what was that content all about? And what did that result actually do to the person that you interviewed?
So this was a test for me to test certain platforms. And this was the platform was a podcast style platform. And it had a contrarian take right at the beginning of the, and that's very important, the hooks that we say, obviously, on camera. And this one had a specific thing, the different stages in a dad's life. And it basically said the worst stage was the baby stage, the infant stage. And people, oh, they had comments. But I also, you know, and some were happy, some were mad. But that just drives more, you know, attention, draws more views. And before you know, I had 500 likes, over 50, 60 shares. Now the comments were just going crazy. And of course, as you know, you have to respond. So what did that do? It proved that a specific format, a podcast style interview, it was a sort of a ranking style, works, right? And so then when people started seeing that and going, oh, it drew attention and got me some new clients is really what it did, right? But it showed people. There was another one that I did where I did a Facebook group. And I went, and then, as you know, these Facebook groups can be very good or they can be very mean at times. But mine was very specific. And I sent out something going, hey, do you guys know anybody, you know, with businesses that need to do a little promotion right now that they need to get out there? Maybe if these are dads that, and this was sort of around Father's Day. And all of a sudden, I got hit with 70 different people talking about their business, their dad's business, their grandpa's business, and they all wanted them sort of podcasted. I couldn't do them all, but it did lead to some, obviously, some people sitting down with me, a lot of dads, about five or six of them that were specific, because yeah, I don't work with everybody because it just, you know, it as you know, as you do too, it's tough. Number one, you can't say yes to everybody. And two, if your style and your flow is not like theirs, you know, everybody's reputation's on the line, right?
Well, and I know that you're picky about who you work with and that you want a real story from a real person. And I think that is in our new world, it's almost impossible, right? But it's funny when you take a look at all of the videos that people do, it is the individual that has a story, or maybe it's even controversial. Like right now, everybody is negative on real estate. So crash, bang, everything is, you know, that gets the clicks, you know, but I think people are becoming more smart. So when you say out front, you want to know that a company that is really good, does a good job with their own employees, have a good product and so on. But how do you filter these kind of good companies or good individuals?
Well, like you, I think a lot of the times you can tell within the first 3 minutes if you like someone. Number one.
Got it.
Two, now I have to know if I trust them, right? I know of them, and right, and I just like, but do I trust them on the same level? Because you're right, stories do sell. And if they tell a story that's, I don't know, not for my audience or not for an audience that I think we should, like, what's the point of doing the podcast? And if it's just an ego podcast that they're trying to promote themselves, and you know, people can smell that a mile away when it's self-promotion, right? Hence as I'm wearing my shirt here. But my point with the stories, I think people will connect with you in a way that I think, you know, it's not the easiest, but told correctly, it will grab their attention and it will sit longer and they'll remember that compared to something you might say, oh, I sold 984, you know, Princess Street. I sold it. Yeah, they care, but they wanted to know what that meant for someone.
Yeah.
They want to know the buyers coming in, like who this place is for, right? The mortgage brokers, when they know, right now, a lot of mortgage brokers, I see some really good ones online. They're actually talking about the pain that's actually happening, right? Because the last 5 years, interest rates were 1-2% in there, and now they're four,
Yeah.
five.
Well, and still, I maintain that four, it's probably one hell of a deal. But the point is, there's probably 10 videos saying it's bad, versus one that said, look, for 50 years, we only had 8 years where the 5-year term fixed rate was below 5%. We
Yeah.
only had 3 years where it was below 4%, and that's on the last 2 or 3 years. So the point is that 4%, if you can get it, that's a pretty darn good rate. When we used to do business in the 90s, our 5-year term was 13.5%. You know, I mean, how did we do business? I don't know, but that's what it was.
I mean, house prices were a lot cheaper then, so that's
Oh,
always,
yes. Yeah.
that sort of made it get through. But yeah, and you're right, with the negative press, it is true. It will get more, you know, publicity. You'll get more views, but those aren't really the people you really want to work with. If they're just eating all that up, people want to hear, especially if they're selling their house, especially if
Yeah.
they're trying to get a mortgage. They need to hear some good news. But yes, I think you have to be realistic and not, you know, lead them down a garden path, saying this is what's happening
Sure.
right now, and this is what to expect in 3 years, 4 years, and 5 years, based upon our professional opinion. And then, like you said, tell some stories like that one there. The 13.5%, people would blow their mind. You know,
yeah,
but
well, even today, the United States on average is just under 7%. It just went from 6 to 7. So, I mean, we're looking at the rate isn't the problem. But the point is, you want it explained in a way that you understand it. And maybe you got there by clickbait and then you're being sold something that is really not true. We're talking about a new home market that is only 4% in Canada of the sales are new. 96% are used resales. So 96 of the market is selling a lot of properties, right? In the group of 4%, there's probably 1.5% one third of it is single family. The rest is condos. So we're talking about a condo market. Yeah, it's in trouble, the new condo market. But compared to what you see on the video saying, this is the end of the world, it's, you know, and I've been through several end of the world kind of things.
Well, and they mentioned recently that, you know, the foreign buyers tax most likely is going to be lifted in 2027, and they'll most likely be able, not buy the detached homes, but the newer condos, which I think is great because the developers do need help. But God forbid you say that, but right, if we're not really, people will be all over you. But to me, it's important these developers can still produce the properties we need for the population that we have,
Well,
right?
today is the 11th of August. Three days ago, I guess on Saturday, Michael Campbell and I on Money Talks did exactly say that. Number one, the first time buyer that buys a Canadian property, the Canadian gets the money. He can then take it, the developer builds something else. Secondly, he can't take it back. The real estate, you own it, you build it, you help build it, it's there forever. He can take his money, do whatever the foreigner does. It is of benefit to the thing. But anyways,
Absolutely.
most of the time when people come to you, you know, I'm sure they want some assurance. Will it actually work? You know, what do you say to somebody that what that means in practice? Will it
Well, a lot of times when people say they want it to work, they want it to generate people. They wanted to generate leads. They wanted to generate views because they want eyeballs on them. And the challenge is a lot of times people come across, as I was saying earlier, with like self-promoting themselves. Yeah. So, right, I think this is where, you know, it, the challenge of it working stops there, because people can smell that a mile away. But if you're still able to give, you know, valuable information, the type of information people are using now and needing to help for the transformation, because again, we can get all the information we want now with all the AI and all these tools, but actually helping people do that transformation to get to their end goal. Like when you said, what does it mean when it actually works? It just really depends on what they want.
Well, the thing is, it's so easy today to just keep scrolling, you know. So you gotta get into very quickly into something that they would be interested in. Like you said, if I want to sell my house, that's what I want to know. What's the market like? What should I do? But when you look at the different types of clients you have, they also have different platforms. So what is it? How do you handle somebody that sort of has an approach that they use on everything, and you want to change it maybe into a different direction?
That's an interesting one, because everybody, once they do a piece of content, they're excited. And I'm excited for them, because they actually have something that they're not used to putting it out. The challenge is, let's say you want to put it on LinkedIn, right? LinkedIn wants more of a little bit more of a professional approach, right? If you want to go on Instagram, it's going to be more of a story type approach. And then I like to say Instagram's older brother, our older cousin is Facebook. And that's for older people like us, man. And they want captions. They want to read something. Where on Instagram, they don't want that too much, right? So if you start to do content that isn't particular for each platform, it's not going to you're not going to get the views. Let's just put it that way. So I say stick to one to maybe two platforms that you can sort of use the same exact video that will work on both of them. And that way you can just get that under control. Once you get those under control, you can switch to the other platforms.
Interesting. Yeah, but certainly I think Instagram sometimes is a younger audience. I think LinkedIn probably more professional audience. You know, when you set the algorithms in LinkedIn, I usually get people that want to be my friends. They're not just on Facebook, it's pictures, and I have no idea who these people are. But on LinkedIn, yeah, I can set them in such a way they're going to be realtors or lawyers, or they're more in my umbrella kind of a people.
That's right. And then YouTube Shorts, and then you have TikTok, which is they want a quick hook. They want, if you can grab them quickly and catch their attention, that's where some really good real estate videos out there where, you know, all of a sudden they're inside the house and it looks like they're robbing the house, but really it's just a realtor selling their property. And I love those ones, because you need to switch it up some and catch people's attention. So yeah, I would do specific videos, but again, to answer your question, I would say pick one or two platforms, get those down, and then switch to the other ones that you feel comfortable.
Yeah, and I think this, I see what there's, it looks to me like there's a marketing firm out there that sells this very strange, almost nothing to do with real estate kind of a video. I asked one of the realtors, I said, does it get you business? Nobody says it gets attention. And then it's still up to us. And I guess that's what you're saying. The video has to be personal. It has to show who you really are, what you're thinking about. Yeah, you can show. I don't think there's anything wrong really with self-promotion. I mean, I want to know a little bit about you, your background, and naturally it's going to be self-promotion. You make thousands of videos. You're an expert in making videos for dads, which
has it's all self-promotion. It's all how it's,
so it is self-promotion. There's nothing wrong with that. But if that's all you do, you know, by the way, me and buy me and do this and do that, then that's a different story. So I think these videos are trying to sort of hit you in the face to watch it, that you don't scroll past it. Think, what the heck are they doing and who are these people? But I don't know. I think it remains to be proven whether that motivates me then to call that real person about real estate. I know they're good about doing the
same. Marketing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, the interesting when you said about the different, you know, 10 videos, let's say out of 10 videos that you do, I only really recommend pitching yourself, CTA and all that, maybe 2-3 videos. Yeah. The rest, the 6 or 7, talk about, again, things that where they can get to know you, like you, and trust you. Yeah. And then that obviously sells itself as well. But sure, actually direct outreach saying, hey, check this out. This is what I'm doing this month. Here, we're having a special for you guys because you've been watching, because you've been paying attention. This is for you. No problem. Absolutely.
Sure. And that's, but that's, I think, is also why they need an expert. Somebody like that has been around the block, so to speak. You have seen all the different videos that have been produced. You have listened sometimes to the client and it did work or didn't work, and or you took it on and used your personal expertise on the structure of where to places and all that. And you have it, the results are very clear, right? I mean, you very quickly know whether something was resonating in the marketplace or not.
Absolutely. I agree.
So you spend a lot of time being the expert in the room, you know, and people that are coming on for the first time, they're a little apprehensive. How do you get over them having their own mental block?
Well, I think a lot of times I'll let them know, hey, look, don't worry. We can cut. We can edit anything. So if there's nothing that you don't want to add in here, no problem. But I use something called the draw out method. So I can draw something out of them. And my acronym for that is CSS. And so I first get them curious. I'll start asking them questions. And then we just get talking about things, right? And then, you know, the S, as we were talking about earlier, is telling me a story. Because now all of a sudden, when somebody tells you a story, they're just talking directly to you. They're remembering it. It's very real. And then the S, again, is back to safety. If they feel safe with you and they don't feel like the cameras are all on, all of a sudden now they can open up. So with that draw out method, that's how I sort of work around when people are a bit nervous and scared.
Yeah, and it's normal. Sometimes, you know, it's funny. My old boss, you know, a long, long time ago, I was always amazed and you know how good he was with an audience. And I said, I don't know how you can be possibly so relaxed. You know, there's 1,000 people out there. He says, who says I'm relaxed? You know, I'm faking it. You know, whatever it takes, you know, you'll look different than you think you are. People don't necessarily see that you're scared. I look at somebody on TV sometimes and I think, that person, I've been there. She's not comfortable or he's not comfortable, right? But the nice thing about doing a video with an expert is you can pre-plan, you know what questions you're going to be asked, you know how, you know where they're going to put it, you know that you're in good hands and not some nonsense is being propagated or in your name. So
absolutely.
Okay, I'm sure that a lot of people that are watching, they are in the real estate umbrella and they have their own companies and they're from many walks of life. As you know, we've now have 28,500 subscribers to OzBuzz. And for anybody that doesn't know, OzBuzz, OzBuzz.com is free. So you can just go to the website and look up all the wonderful things that you have. You can also look up on the website how you can get a hold of Steve. He has a website. It's called podcastertime.com. Boy, what a great name. I always feel sometimes people make a name on the website and how on earth did you come up with that? This one, podcastertime.com, is a great name. It's below the description if you're watching it on video. He also has kindly given his email, steve@podcastertime.com, and you can catch him on the phone and we'll leave that phone number for you at the. And if you're on the podcast, just remember, just go to podcastertime.com. So the last thing I want to ask you is, I mean, I'm sitting on the fence, and particularly you mentioned there's older people and there's younger people are easy for them to do this. But an older person, he says, well, why should I do that? And how important is it to leave something behind that is meaningful?
I think it's incredibly important. What you leave behind, you want it opened. You want people to look at it. You don't want it just to go and disappear. So an interesting stat, I think the company was called Levitate. It's a marketing solutions company. And they sent out an email blast to people. And I think the open rate was about 2.5%. And then the reply rate was about 1.5%. Well, when they sent a video along with the email, it went to a 17% open rate and a 6% reply rate. So I'm just going to leave it at that, Ozzy. I think right there, those numbers tell. And we still use that email. I know you do. I do as well. And when you can reach out to people and we can speak to them and they can but see us on camera and maybe explaining their story, explaining to them, you know, how we can help them. And of course, we're always going to talk about, hey, this is what we do. But really, if you're in that situation where you want to reach more people, add that video because the numbers and stats prove it.
Yeah, and I would agree with that. But the important thing is, you know, you're not blowing your own horn, but you want to be with somebody that has done it multiple times and seen all kinds of opposition or as all times of wins, and this was a real winner. And here we learned something from it. But who now is at a stage of his life, if you get involved with him, whether you're a mortgage broker or a realtor or anywhere in that real estate umbrella or any other kind of a smaller business, Steve Kohner is your man. Thanks for joining us, and all the very best to you.